You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One who has come in order to make us fully human. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I know that I run across it every now and again as I am going through the interwebs. You come across something and all of a sudden you get this grid, and on that grid it says, select all of the squares that have cats in them. And you go, oh man, here we go again. And you have to click, and you're not quite sure. Sometimes it's fire hydrants, bicycles, whatever. And then sometimes it's also a little word. You have to like kind of decipher the word. You have to go, okay, what, is that a squiggly M or is it two N's? And the whole purpose behind that is to prove that you are a human being. Because only human beings can recognize fire hydrants. But you get where it comes from. It actually comes from the late 1990s. In the late 1990s, the internet was just kind of getting its legs under it. And as it was getting its legs under it, we had sort of AI in zygote form. And it was called spam bots. And so people would, they would kind of train their computers to go. And they would find, crawl all of these different websites. And some of the websites decided, hey, we don't want that to happen. And so what they did was they put these little blocks up and they said, hey, this program is not going to be able to tell what this word is or tell what this image is. And if it's not able to do that, then it's going to run up against a wall and that's going to be it. We're going to be safe. We're going to be protected. All of those things. And so a lot of times if you wanted to comment on something out there, or if you wanted to access something that somebody didn't want you to be able to access, you would have to prove your humanity. You have to prove that you were actually a person. Now, in some ways, that's kind of dangerous. Because in some ways, a lot of times I maybe would prefer the machine. There are things about humans that can be kind of disgusting and gross. And that is where our readings for today kind of begin, with the first moment that that humans are acting in a way that is not how God initially designed them to behave. And so we look at this story, the story of Adam and Eve, and their temptation and subsequent fall into sin. And we look at that, and we look at that story, and we say to ourselves, that's what it means to be a human. I mean, we even have little phrases, little cliches that go along with this, right? To err is human, and to forgive is divine. And so there's even that kind of baked into us, this sort of sense that we're going to make mistakes, we're going to sin, we're going to not do the right thing. And that's what humanity is. And the reason that we think that is because of Adam and Eve. Because in that moment in Genesis 3, the Bible just getting started, God reveals to Moses, he says, okay, this is what things looked like, and you guys were not good for very long. You sinned, and that just continues to be a part of your story over and over and over again. And we agree. We go, yeah, that is a part of my story. That's what my humanity kind of looks like right now. We would say that we are born into this world in sin. We are even conceived in sin. That we are genetically not only predisposed, but genetically even destined to sin. That at that moment, there was something that crept into our DNA as a mutation and made every single human from that point on sinful. And so we see that in ourselves. We see that in other people. We see that sinfulness, that bad little bit of altered programming showing up again and again. And to us, that's what proves our humanity. What proves our humanity is, well, I do make mistakes. I do the wrong thing. Sometimes I don't mean to, but I do anyway. Sometimes I am so corrupted that I actually mean to do the wrong thing, and then I do it with gusto. That's what it feels like to be a human. And we know those feelings that come along with that. We recognize that that's what a part of what being a human feels like as well. That what David is talking about in that psalm, where he's saying, well, when I was silent and I didn't bring these things to God, yeah, my bones ached. We know what that feels like to make those mistakes, to be in that place where we have sins that are so disgusting to us that we go, this is nasty. I feel bad. And we also know what it's like to have sins that we've grown numb to, that they maybe don't feel so bad anymore because we've just committed them over and over again. And then we need to be reminded. All of that is what it looks like to be human. And there's this interesting character that shows up in order to sort of prove to us our humanity, our sinful humanity, over and over again. His name in Hebrew is Ha-Satan, the Satan. And Satan, that word in Hebrew, it means accuser. It means the person who points his finger and says, you are a sinner. He's sort of like a prosecuting attorney. He says, you have done this. He accuses us. Not only does he like to accuse us, but he likes to tempt us. He likes to put us in a place where he has some business. It's what he's doing to Eve. That's what he's doing with Adam. He's kind of constructing this place in which they're going to fall, and then he can accuse them and say, oh, this is who you are. This is what humanity looks like. And he loves to do that because he loves to try to point out to God that his prized design, his prized creation of humanity is not operating in the way that it should. Every time we sin, Satan goes, I got another one. And he takes that picture, he takes that accusation, and he puts it up to God, and he says, you see what your creation looks like? This is not good. This is not what you designed. And when we look at that picture, we have to agree. we find ourselves in that awkward position of agreeing with Ha-Satan. Yeah, this isn't what I should be. This isn't what I should look like. And yet, somebody else shows up. Somebody else shows up, and he shows up in that gospel reading where Jesus goes out, and he goes to the wilderness, and he fasts for 40 days and 40 nights, and in that fasting, then the Ha-Satan, he shows up, and he starts to do what he does. He starts to try to put together these kind of elaborate tricks so that he can then accuse the Son of God. He can accuse this Jesus who has arrived on the scene, and as he arrives on the scene, Satan knows that he is supposed to be the new Adam. That what Paul is talking about in that Romans reading, that that's who Jesus is. And Satan knows it. Satan knows that that's who this is supposed to be. And Satan has a whole bunch of generations of dealing with humans. And he goes, don't worry, I got this one. I'm going to show you, God. I'm going to show you what your perfect creation looks like in this Jesus. I'm going to set up these temptations and he's going to fall. And then I'm going to lift that back up to you. And I'm going to show you how your creation is flawed. And so he goes to Jesus and he tempts him. He tempts him three times. And those temptations, they're different things, right? They start off kind of local, right? So feed yourself, Jesus. That's how he tempts him right away. So there's something there where we recognize, oh yeah, Satan tempts me in that way, in this hyper-local way, with these sins that only affect me, or at least it feels like they only affect me. I can just make bread on my own. It'll be okay. This isn't going to harm anybody. We get into that. But Jesus is different. And he says, that one's not going to work, Satan. And so then Satan expands it out a little bit. He takes him up to the top of the temple. And he says, I'm going to tempt you here with a little bit of, well, how much does God actually love you? I'm going to tempt you with a little bit of, do you really believe, do you really trust that God is going to take care of you? If you do, then jump off of the top of this building and he's going to send angels to come after you. I mean, after all, that's what he told David. And Jesus doesn't take it. He refuses. He says, you shouldn't tempt the Lord your God. So we look at that and we go, oh, yeah, been there. And those moments where I've been tempted to say, God, if you really loved me, then you would take care of me in this way. And so you're not doing it. So I guess I'm on my own. I guess I'm just going to take care of myself here. But Jesus refuses that. And then finally, he takes him up to this really tall mountain, so big that he can look out over the glory of all of the earth, all of these kingdoms. He's looking at Hong Kong. He's looking at Paris. He's looking at all of these different places. He's looking at anything that you would think, well, that's big, that's great. And he tempts him with this idea of power. He tempts him with this idea of control. And he says, you're going to be number one as long as you keep me number one. And we fall into that temptation too. That one feels familiar to us. The temptation that we're in charge, that we're in control. Jesus rejects that too. And all of a sudden the accuser is left without an accusation. He's left without an indictment. He's got this human being in front of him that has to be so frustrating to him. Because for generations and generations and generations, he's been able to set things up and humans have fallen like bowling pins. But now there's this frustrating Jesus who comes along and he's not going to fall and there is no accusation to be made. In fact, this one just says, get out. And Satan goes sulking away. And in that picture, we get something that Satan doesn't like to show. Satan loves to show how his accusation works. He loves to show, hey, look, these human beings that you created, well, they're flawed, they're no good. But here the accuser himself has to say, he passed. This one is fully human. This one doesn't have the stain of sin on it. And because of that, Christ can go to the cross. But because of that also, Christ can go to the cross and we can know that he has been in our very depths. He has been in our very temptations to sin. He has been in those moments where Satan meets us and he tempts us and he accuses us when we fall. Jesus knows what it's like. He meets us in that basic element of what we understand to be humanity, and Jesus comes back at that and he says, that's not completely human. I'm going to heal you of that. I'm going to forgive you of your sins. I'm going to bring you back to the Father. I am going to make you like me, and I'm going to do that through the cross. Because in that cross, I am going to give you the forgiveness of your sins. I'm going to make sure that at that moment, when Satan tries to accuse you, when he says, you're a sinner, that you can meet his accusation and you can say, I am a sinner. You are correct. But Jesus Christ has died for sinners. And I'm one of his. I have been made fully human. Not because I've stopped sinning, not because I've never sinned. All of those are Jesus' answers. But because Jesus has come into my world, and because he's died on a cross, and because he's given me the forgiveness of my sins, and the wholeness that I wouldn't have on my own. As we get forgiven, as we experience that moment of forgiveness, whether it's when I announce that to you, when I say your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, whether that's in baptism, that moment where God brought you into his family through water and word, whether that's in Holy Communion where you come up here and you take his body and blood into your mouth and it filters through your DNA and makes things whole again spiritually for you, all of those things are things where you are experiencing what Jesus is going to do ultimately when he comes back, and he is going to make you whole. And he is making you whole by those things. Making you complete, completely human. And so as you go out into this world, you're going to commit sins. You're going to have moments where Satan laughs and he holds up the accusation, the picture of you committing that sin. You're going to have those moments, but know that in those moments that Jesus is right there to say, this is one of mine. And you can't accuse him anymore. She belongs to me. You cannot accuse her anymore. They're completely human. And they're totally mine. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through His church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up His face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.